Very good evening, and I greet you all in the precious name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome. Tonight we conclude our series of 13 messages on the Jewish people in history and prophecy. And the title of tonight's message is The Insoluble Problem. Will peace ever come to the Middle East? Just as I was thinking and pondering over this topic, Straits Times announced another round of peace talks had begun for the Middle East. Amazing. Good timing. I have some slides to show you from Straits Times. Yes, Middle East peace talks begin despite violence. So while they are talking peace back in the land, the Jews and the Palestinians once again were having some problem. The problem surely is more than what America has bargained for. I wonder if Abraham, when he was called, that was 4,000 years ago, ever imagined that his descendants one day would be squabbling among themselves? Please understand, all the time the problem is not between Chinese and the Jews or any other race and the Jews. It's between the Jews and the Jews' relatives. And there's nothing more difficult than a family squabble. And this is what it is. Why did God allow this? Oh, the wisdom and the wonderful power of God will be manifested at the very end. So Middle East peace talks begin. And we wonder, what are the prospects? As I read through the Straits Times article, they consulted a professor, Michael Hudson, the professor of the Middle East Center for International Studies in the University of Singapore. And this professor has credentials of having been in America at the Center for Middle Eastern problems for 35 years. Now he's in Singapore, so he's an authority on Middle East matters. Now what does he think? He was asked, Professor Hudson, what do you think? What is the likely outcome? And his reply was, I think the talks will go nowhere. Amazing. Far from encouraging, he spoke very frankly. He could not see any way out because the problem is insoluble. Even as we think insoluble, he thinks it is insoluble. So he says it is going nowhere. How can you keep on trading land for peace? Or giving money to both parties, a kind of very high power bribery, and hoping that American money will appease. Yes, maybe appease for 5 years or 10 years, and then the old problem crops up again. Middle East peace talks begin, and these peace talks are not new. 31 years ago, there was President Clinton, together with Sadat on the left and Begin on the right, they talk peace, they sign peace treaties, and these treaties are as good as the paper they are signed on. Now comes Obama, and they pin a lot of hopes. Maybe he, with his connections, maybe with American power, surely they will make peace. And on the left is Mr. Abbas, and in the center is Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Jew. Don't you think they look alike? After all, they are cousins, you know. Brothers, half-brothers. They're from the same father, from Abraham. Amazing. And there is Hillary Clinton in the center. Shake hands. You shake hands with the right hand and carrying a gun at the left hand. How can there ever be peace? So the title here, the headline is Middle East Talks Skirt a Thorny Settlement Issue. We're going to see what the settlement issue is all about. So here is Professor Hudson. And the caption here is that peace remains an elusive issue in the Middle East. Will peace ever come? Answer, what do you think? Yes or no? No in the immediate future. Yes in the final analysis. It's coming eventually. This is the Economist's opinion. The Palestinian problem is the world's most intractable quarrel. All other quarrels can be settled by international mediation, United Nations, and so on and so forth. Somehow they are settled, but not the Israeli-Palestinian problem. Its ingredients include history, religion, ideology, and Jerusalem. Both sides are victims of great injustices, yes, truly, but how can you undo, untie, and dissolve all those age-long hatreds and ill feelings in the hearts and breasts and minds of two people? And here, God has promised Abraham, your descendants will be special to me. He who touches you, meaning the Jews, touches the apple of my eye. He is like my firstborn child. So, lay off. Those who bully the Jews will pay a price for it. For eventually, the Jewish people will face a very, very difficult problem in the day to come. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The Lord Himself will rise to protect His people. This problem, I've shown you this three times now, engages the attention of Time magazine, a major journal on the world front. What does Time think? 40 years, this was in 1988. Yeah, that's right. 40 years of achievement. Indeed, by today, the Jewish economy is number one in the Middle East, the most strongest, most powerful, and the most prosperous of all the nations, outstripping even the Arab The oil-rich Arabs cannot compare with Israel's achievement. But it is not an easy thing. 40 years of conflict along the way, and yet Israel survives. How? Because God promised them. These pictures recall some of the tribulations of the Jews. These two pictures are taken from Poland, Warsaw, where the Jews are herded. You look at those people, how pitiful they are. Beautiful looking people. A child in the front, surrender. Behind them and surrounding them are the German soldiers. And these are being herded together for the Holocaust. Can you imagine? 6 million Jews were systematically exterminated, reduced into ashes because of one madman who got it into his head that Jews are pests and dispensable people, like rubbish. And so he exterminated them. Hitler. And this is a picture of sorrow, of pity, of doom. The world hates the Jews for some reason. Do you know why? Satan's lethal weapon. Because out of Jews came Jesus, the Savior, the one who put this enemy of our souls to the destruction when he died on the cross. Jesus took on our flesh and the blood, and going to the cross, he destroyed him who had power of death. Why do we die? All because of the power of Satan. And on the cross, Jesus destroyed the devil. But in the meantime, Satan has his retaliation, anti-Semitism, because this race of people brought forth the Savior, they pay a price, as it were, for it. Today, the Jews are back in the land. And this is the most holy site. The Herodian temple was fully, totally destroyed. Everything gone except the wall. So to the Jews, the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall is the most sacred spot for them. And the Jews, in their blindness, are praying. Praying for what? Of course, for various things. God to help, to save. But they are praying for the coming of the Messiah. Jesus Christ came, but he came to his own, and his own received him not. They did not recognize Jesus as the Savior of promise, but put him to the cross. And for that they are paying today, paying dearly. Here they pray. Israel is God's land, a very pleasant land. See how beautiful it is. Those of us who have been will agree with all this. It is a very special land. Do you remember that when the spies went to the land for 40 days to spy out the land, they returned with one bunch of grapes that required two people to carry on a pole. How many kilograms was that bunch of grapes? It's anybody's guess, but it surely must be about 10 kilos or more. That is the land, beautiful land. Today it is the bone of contention. I've shown you this, I'll show you again. The city walls are 40 feet high, 2.5 miles long, and they are beautiful, made of beautiful stone. And there in the center is the Dome of the Rock, the mosque of the Arabs. This is the second most holy place to the Arabs. Now here is a picture. This is the land of promise. Also today, the land of contention, the bone of contention. Recently, there was an incident over the Gaza Strip here. Here is the Gaza. This is the only place where the Palestinians are allowed to have their own government. Yes, the only place. But it is surrounded and under Jewish surveillance. Here they are mixed in the West Bank. What do you call it, the West Bank? A special area that was lost from the Jordanians, lost to the Jews during the 1967 Six-Day War. In 6 days, it was captured. So this is a special territory called the West Bank, where there are Jews and Arabs settled together. This is a thorny issue. How to get to contesting and feuding people to live at peace? So this is what they are all talking about now in Washington. How to barter a peace agreement so that two people living side by side who are of the same stock of Abraham will not come at each other's throats and kill each other, bomb each other, sending missiles from overseas, from Lebanon onto the land. This is an insoluble problem. And once again, you are reminded that that is the land. That little red patch there. Israel is in the sea of 160 million hostile and oil-rich Arabs. How can you fight a kind of warfare like that? And this is ongoing. The animosity and the hatred is 4,000 years old, hatched in the womb of Rebekah. Do you recall Abraham's grandson when he was born? Esau, firstborn, and Jacob followed him. But he was the cunning one, and he swindled the brother, the elder brother, of birthright and the father's blessing, both went to the younger brother. Jacob got it. Who was Jacob? What was his other name? You remember? Israel. Israel is Jacob, the supplanter, the one who swindled the elder brother. Can this kind of hatred ever be dissolved out of the breast and heart and mind of Esau and his descendants? And remember, Abraham had two wives. The maid who serves Sarah, and Sarah says to Abraham, since we have waited 10 years, there is no son. Maybe Hagar should be the one. And so Abraham agreed, and out came Ishmael. But God did not intend that Ishmael should be the son and heir. The son of promise was a son by faith, not by man's cunning and scheming. So don't try and help God. Sarah thought, well, maybe God has forgotten. I think this Egyptian girl is good enough. And she was right. She was good enough to produce a child for Ishmael that gave rise to intractable troubles that last till today. You remember how Ishmael was dispossessed when 13 years old there came the son of promise. And then the trouble began when Ishmael began to mock and to cast eyes on Isaac, the son of promise. And there began the feud. But that son was expelled from the house, dispossessed, disowned, go away. Can that kind of hatred, that kind of ill will ever be cleansed from the system? Now all the descendants of the Arabs are here, 160 million of them. Of course, not all of them are from the seed of Abraham, but they have all embraced the same religion, and that binds them together. Palestinian policy is very wonderful. Oh, you have swindled us. 4,000 years ago, that kind of ill will does not dissolve easy. And so, whereas the Jews were out of the land for 2,000 years, very few Jews in the promised land, they are where? Scattered all around over the world. Suddenly they began to come back, and a nation was announced, 1948. How come? We are here and you come in and now you take over. Jews declare the state of Israel, the modern state of Israel, 1948. So the Arabs and the Palestinians says, no recognition. You can be a nation, we don't recognize you. We will not negotiate with you. We will not have peace with you. Never. That kind of hatred is inborn and deep-seated. Today, this is the latest Time magazine. Israel is not very mindful of the dangers. This is the average Jewish citizen. They're enjoying the life, the beaches, the Mediterranean resorts are so wonderful. And the life is never better because they have become the richest country in the Middle East. A very strong economy and technology. Last week, run through how the Jews dominate in every field of human endeavor. Every field. Jews dominate. Why? Because God promised, I will bless you. And so the Jews are blessed in politics, in finance, in technology, in medicine, in everything. Jews are tops. So today their life isn't bad at all in Israel. Why talk of war? We're not very interested. Why Israel doesn't care about peace? Yes, there is ease in Zion. See how beautiful the city is. And they're interested in tourism. And our groups go to Israel every year. If you're interested, join with the groups. We are going in November. And there you will see with your own eyes the land that flows with milk and honey, that God has promised to bless. The golden walls of Jerusalem are incomparable. This is Zion, city of God, the country of God. And the Jews are still flocking back to Israel. We call this the Aliyah, the regathering. You ask them, why do you go back? Simply because there is an inner urge, because it runs in the blood, because God has put it in them. You belong to the land needs you. They go back. I couldn't understand it when I was in Sydney. This flourishing, prosperous gynecologist told me I'm going back next month, closing my practice. I say, why? Oh, I'm a Jew. So for that reason, Aliyah, gathering. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus, Lord, tell us the sign of your return. When are you coming back? Among the signs of earthquakes and pestilences and famines and false prophets and false Christ, Jesus says, look out for the sign of the fig tree. What is the fig tree? He says, watch for the fig tree. When summer is nigh, the fig tree puts out branches and then bears fruit. That is the sign. Fig tree is Israel. When you see Israel resurgent, out of nowhere, 2,000 years, no Jews back in the land, all dispersed around the world. Jesus says, when you see, did you see? 1948, the fig tree put forth branches and leaves and began to grow. That is the sign. Dear friends, why did we have this series on the Jews? In order that we may be wise unto salvation. The Jews are not an ordinary people. God said, Abraham, follow me. And because Abraham obeyed, he became the forerunner of a race of people who by faith have become God's people. But, you know, I told you, 85% of the Jews today do not even believe in God. Then how can they be blessed? Ah, Paul has explained to us, God has given him that superior understanding by the inspiration of his Holy Spirit. To understand that the Jews are not forsaken entirely, not finally. But the Jews are temporarily blinded. They see things that God has not intended for them to see. And they see the world as, that's it. Today, 85% are atheists. They believe in themselves, and they are quite rightly superior in many ways. But one day God will remove that blindness. That day is yet to come. So the reason why we have been talking about Jews is in order that through this story of how God called one man, we may understand that He is also calling us by the same calling. Follow me, and I will make you a great nation. When we follow Jesus, we come into blessing. There's no other way. Thank God you are here. Thank God you are believing. And the final why we are telling you all about these things is, Jesus says, look at the fig tree. The fig tree is there already, 1948. How many more years before the Lord Jesus returns? I say, if anything, recall what the Lord Jesus said. Can you? Do you remember? Jesus says, my coming is so near, it's even at the doors. You can almost hear his footsteps. How near is near? Are you ready? Are you living for this world and its great enticements and offerings of all kinds of things? Do you know that Singapore has become 100 times richer from the day we started our BP church? 100 times. Amazing. You can't believe it. That's why people can go to the casino and lose $26 million a night. So rich, flowing with money. Jesus says, the signs are plentiful. Only thing is people do not want to see it. They want to believe that they can live here forever. How foolish that can be. How foolish can it be for people not to see the signs of the times? The Lord is coming. This is what Jesus says to you. Behold, I come quickly. The Lord is waiting, and he is concerned for you, his people. Stand fast in the faith. I'm coming again to reward you. My reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. How are you serving him? Oh, my friends, that's all that matters, not how rich you are. And my last question to you is, are you ready? We will now read the Word of God and conclude tonight's lesson. When will the Jews open their eyes and understand that Jesus, who came out of the bowels of Abraham, a Jew, is the Messiah of promise? They're still waiting for the Messiah. Turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah, among the minor prophets, Habakkuk, and then Zechariah, before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. When Jesus comes, it says, I will pour upon the house of David, that is upon the house of Zion and the Jews, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon the one whom they pierced, whom they sent to the cross, and they crucify him, crucify him, 2,000 years ago. And they shall mourn for him. On that day, God opens their blindness, removes their blindness. And when they see Jesus return, they suddenly realize, come to the understanding, he is Messiah. He is the God-sent one. And the unbelief is removed. And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. For truly, this is a prediction of what will happen. Now on to Romans chapter 11. The one passage we have read for tonight. Verse 25 and 26. Romans 11, 25. I would not have you, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Who says this? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to us? Dear friends, don't be ignorant of this. God wants you to know the Jews are not forsaken and written off. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits that blindness in part has happened to Israel. That blindness today is so blind that they cannot see, but it is in part. It is only temporary. God will remove it.
This is the promise. Do you understand? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, until we, the Gentiles refers to all of us, until the number of the Gentiles who should be saved is completed. When will it be? Dear friends, when we go and evangelize, when we witness to the unbelieving Gentiles, and they come in, when that number is completed, then all, verse 26, all Israel shall be saved. This is the promise. Are you witnessing? Let us go. Let us go in faith and tell others, the Savior has come. Jesus Christ, the Jew, is our Savior. He has died on the cross for you and for me. Look to Him in faith and be saved. And when the fullness of the Gentiles is coming, God will remove the blindness of the Jews. Verse 26, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Verse 33, this is God's doing. Who can do it? Who can ever think of such a wonderful, wonderful method of fulfilling His own word and His own promise? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. From heaven, hear the words of the Lord. Behold, I come quickly. This series of lessons on the Jewish people is to impress upon you, our Lord Jesus was a Jew. Salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus. And without Him, there is no salvation. Look to Him, the soon coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Savior, my Savior, your Savior. Be thankful and go for Him. He says, you shall be my witnesses until the end of the world. That is why we have missions. That is why we ever started the Bible Presbyterian Church 60 years ago. Are you concerned? Are you interested? On the 24th of October, we shall be here to commemorate and to recall how God called us out of darkness to establish the Bible Presbyterian witness for the end time, for such a time as this, that we may turn back and call others to turn to the Savior of promise, back to the Bible. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Are you ready? This is the whole purpose and the whole thrust of the message of the BP Church, that men and women may come to salvation, repentance, and be ready for the Lord's coming again. Are you ready? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may thy people be awakened, aroused out of their slumber, to know that our Lord Jesus, who died, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and is now in glorious majesty at the right hand of God, preparing to return to earth. And that day of His return is even at the doors. O Lord our God, may Thou raise up men and women of faith from our midst to go forth into the harvest, and to call men and women to repentance before the day of the Lord returns. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen. We